The following broadcast is a presentation of Mountford Free Methodist Church in Decatur, Illinois. Join us Sunday mornings for worship and life together throughout the week as we love God and love others. For service times and learn more about our community, go to DecaturFMC.org. Well, we've been talking about prayer and fasting. And let me give you a little bit of a background now that we've, you know, the journey we've been on in the last couple of months. All right, it started kind of right after Easter, during Revive. Pastor Doug Newton was here and really truly gave us a great word from God for our church. And one of them was that we would be a church that cries out to the Lord in everything that we do. And then one of the last things that he said is, may we raise the level as a church, meaning may we do the things that we can do to grow spiritually as a church. This led us then to dive into Nehemiah. And we looked at the book of Nehemiah, and while God led us in that book, we saw one of the biggest messages that we felt God had for us is that we have to be his church. We need to be his people that fast and pray. And that the truth is, many of us, maybe before the last couple of months, we've talked a lot about fasting and praying, but many of us never really did it much. Or we didn't know too much about it, or maybe it's been a long time since we've fasted and prayed before. And so, since Nehemiah, we've been going through and looking at a bunch of different stories in Scripture that talked about people who fasted and prayed. We looked at Nehemiah. We looked at Ezra, once again, leading his people to Jerusalem, but fasting and praying. We looked at King Jehoshaphat, where three armies were coming after them. And what the king did was, instead of saying, come on, army, we got to get ready to fight, he said, we have to fast and pray. And while they fasted and prayed, God spoke to them and said, this is what I want you to do. Are you ready? This is your battle plan. I want you to worship me and to not lift a weapon. And while you worship me, I will fight the battle for you. And so God did that. Those three big armies that were coming after them came and started fighting against each other. And guess who was left standing? King Jehoshaphat and his army. God fought for him. But it all started with prayer and fasting. We looked at Joel, of how a big famine was coming through and hard times were in that region. And God called them to fast and pray. Have you watched the news lately? I think hard times are upon us. And I don't think it's going to get any better. Don't you think we should be his people that fast and pray? And last week we looked at a wonderful woman of God who really is not preached about much. We looked at Anna, a woman who was an old widower, was in the temple day and night, fasting and praying to God. That's what she did. Why? Because she loved to be at the feet of Jesus. And while she was at the temple, baby Jesus came. And she knew instantly who he was, the Messiah. And she told the world about Jesus. It all started because she was a woman who was faithful in fasting and praying before God. And this morning, we're going to look at another story. the story of Jesus himself, who took the time out, 40 days, to fast and to pray. And before we dive into it, I just want to say, for me, reading this story once again, I mean, I've preached on this story several times. I think I've even preached on this story here before. But looking at it through a different lens helped me to see the story in a different way that I've never seen before. Before, I would always look at the story as Jesus being tempted, right? This time, though, I looked at the story in the lens of Jesus fasting and praying. And I looked at the story just a little bit differently. So we're going to look at it. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Starting in verse 1. Before we read the scripture, though, let me get you caught up of what's going on. Jesus, who we would say is about 30 years old at this time, we don't know much about the first 30 years of his life. We only have very small snippets of the first 30 years of his life, when he was a baby and when he was a boy. When he wanted to be in the temple, those type of things. But we would figure that Jesus probably during these 30 years took up his father's trade, and that was a carpenter. And he just kind of worked and was probably with his mom. Right before this, what we see is something very powerful happened to Jesus. He saw and heard about the revival that was happening down by the Jordan River through John, his cousin. And so he went down to the river where everybody else was, where John was saying, "Repent and be baptized." And one after another, floods of people would come, and John would come, just like what we did with Julie, and baptize people one after another as they repented and they were baptized. Now Jesus came in that line, and when John saw Jesus, said, "No, Lord, you need to baptize me." And Jesus said, "No, I am here to be baptized." And John baptized Jesus. And once Jesus came out of the water, it says that the heavens opened up and God's voice came down, and a dove and light, and it came over Jesus. And God said, "This is my son whom I love, and I am well pleased." Almost like a child who did something that you were proud of, and then you run to your daddy who puts his arms around you and say, "I'm so proud of you, son." This is what God did to Jesus on this day. And then what we see now in Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, we see now Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit filled him during that baptism. Jesus left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So right from the river, who led him to the wilderness? The Spirit did. Now, the question I put on Facebook a couple of days ago was, I asked, why was Jesus led in the wilderness? And why did Satan tempt him? Well, I think really we can look at three different things of why Jesus was led to the wilderness. The first thing we see in Matthew actually says it. Matthew says, Jesus was led to the wilderness to be tempted. So Jesus was led to the wilderness to be tempted. But I don't think that was the only reason. I think through all of that, the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to also be prepared. Because right after the wilderness, it says that Jesus then is empowered by the Spirit to go out to do some miraculous things. We know the last 3 years. Or the next 3 years. That God wanted to prepare Jesus in a way during this wilderness so he could be ready and empowered by the Holy Spirit to go out to do amazing things for the Lord. That's one of the reasons why he was led. That tells us something. Have you ever been, or maybe for some of you, you might even feel like now you're in the wilderness, or maybe you've been in the wilderness. A time of your life, a period in your life that was trying, that was hard. Maybe if you're like me, while you're in the wilderness, you would even ask, God, why do you have me in the wilderness? I don't like it here. And this is what it teaches us. That the Holy Spirit leads us into the wilderness to prepare us, to empower us, so we can go out and do incredible things for the Lord. So we see that he was tempted. We're going to look into that. He was prepared. But I think this is what I saw, really, for one of the first times this time of reading this story. Is one of the last things, I think, why Jesus was in this wilderness. Because he wanted intimate time with his Father. As it says, he went to the wilderness for 40 days and he fasted and prayed for 40 days. I mean, some of us who fasted a month ago, we thought 12 hours was hard. 40 days. And while he was in this wilderness for 40 days, he got so close to his Father that it was just him and his Father. It was just the two of them, and they spent time with each other, quality time. It's almost like when a husband and wife just gets married. And what do they go off to do right after they get married? They go off usually on a honeymoon, right? So they could spend quality time with one another, right? This is what I think one of the reasons what Jesus did in the wilderness. He wanted to spend quality time with God. And what happens whenever we get so close to God? What happens? Satan comes and he tries to tear us down and he tries to distract us. He tries to tempt us. And this is what Satan did for Jesus. He tempted him. While Jesus was weak, while he was hungry, it says. Let's look at the first temptation. Verse 3. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." So what was the first thing that he was tempted with? Food. The same weakness that he had at that time because he was weak and he was hungry. You think Satan knows our weaknesses? He tries to attack them. And he tries to get us down. And Satan is probably thinking, I remember when I did this with Adam and Eve. I sure got them. They ran from God. I'm going to get Jesus now too. Oh, but he had no idea who he was coming up against. Because right away Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." Deuteronomy 8:3. We see that he quoted scripture. So then the devil said, "Well, that didn't work. I have something better." And it says that the devil led Jesus up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdom of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will be yours." So what's the second thing he tempted Jesus with? Power. I think Satan tempts us with power a lot. And I think sometimes we don't even recognize it. Because what Satan wants us to do is he wants us to have all power and control and not God. And I think he comes to a lot of people and say, "You know you want the power. You want control of your own life, don't you? You know you want it." And so he tempted him with power. Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." That we see in Deuteronomy 6:13. Once again, he quoted scripture. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So the devil said, "Well, that didn't work." Third try. Now we see once again the devil led Jesus to Jerusalem. Once again, he led him somewhere else. And had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written," this is Satan speaking. And now Satan is about to quote scripture to Jesus. "For it is written," Jesus, "he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." That's Psalm 91:11 and 12. So even Satan knew scripture. And he tried to use scripture against Jesus. But then Jesus said, after all the times where Jesus said, it is written, now Jesus said, "It is said." And I almost see it with power and authority that Jesus did it. If he had a pulpit, he would slam his fist on it. "It is said, I tell you. Do not put the Lord God to the test." Deuteronomy 6:16. So all three times, Jesus was tempted. All three times, Jesus did not give into the temptation, because all three times, he used scripture for strength to overcome. And then right after that, it says, when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. So when we get so close with God, when we start really fasting and praying, church, guess what's going to happen? Satan's going to try to come and discourage us. Maybe he already has. But this is what I want you to understand and to get this morning. that through it all, we have the promise in his scripture in 1 Corinthians, we have the promise that God will always provide a way out whenever temptation ever comes our way. We have the promise that there is victory and there is power through Jesus who lives in us to overcome any temptation that comes our way. Jesus had it through scripture. You want to know the importance of reading his word? You want to know the importance of hiding his word in your heart? Jesus used his scripture to give him power to overcome. Have you ever had times in your life where you feel like the temptation was just so great? That you feel like you don't have enough power to overcome the temptation. I would say that's probably because you're trying to do it on your own. We have the power and authority to always find a way out through Jesus, who gives us strength. And through it all, I want you to remember that knowing that Satan is going to try to interfere, that Satan is going to try to attack, this should not hinder us from fasting and praying. We should not be fearful. This should not hinder us from getting closer to God. Because why? We've said this verse many times. God has not given us a power of fear. Fear should not stop us or hinder us from doing the things that God is calling us, because God has given us power and love and a sound mind to overcome any obstacle that comes our way. Is there a temptation that might be so great in your life, maybe even right now? God has a way out for you. It's his promise. And he has given you the strength to overcome it. If you can just rely on him. You know, for me, whenever Satan attacks me, I don't know about you guys, but for me, I get excited. Because I know I'm doing something right. Because I know I'm doing what God wants me to do. I am doing something enough that's making Satan scared and angry at what I'm doing. I'm making him nervous. And so I'm doing it in enough where Satan is saying, I want to get him down. I'm scared about what God might do in his life, and I got to tear him down. And for me, I get excited because I know I'm going down the right road. That I'm doing something that's kind of starting to stir the bee's nest, if you will. And I don't know if a pastor should say this from the pulpit or not, but I did it in first service and I'll do it again. But when that happens, I'm ready to kick him in the butt. I am. I'm ready for the battle. Bring it on. Because we have victory in Jesus, right? To overcome any temptation that comes our way. So don't be scared. Don't be scared of coming closer with God, because you know Satan is there lurking and wanting to tear you down. Because the power is all ours. To overcome any temptation that comes your way. So Jesus himself spent 40 days in the wilderness, fasting and praying, spending time with his Father. If Jesus needed it, don't we? We need to be his people. that fasts and prays. We need to be as people that no matter what can stand firm. Amen. Against anything that Satan tries to come our way. In a couple of weeks, in praying about this last night, I feel that God was just telling me last night that he wanted us to go into, after this, in a couple of weeks, to go into a kind of a sermon series on the armor of God. Of how whenever Satan does attack, whenever he comes against us, the steps that we need to take to stand firm against anything that Satan will try to do. And I think that we need to hear this because, again, church, if we truly are going to be a church that fasts and prays, Satan is going to attack, and we have to be ready to stand and to stand firm. So Jesus, for 40 days, fasted and prayed and was tempted, but was not shaken. Satan was able to tempt Adam, and he was shaken, not Jesus. Jesus was actually empowered to go from this wilderness, to go out to do amazing things for his kingdom. Maybe you're going through the wilderness right now. Maybe you're being tempted right now. Stand firm. And be ready for the great, powerful things that God is about to do in your life.